If you have your Bibles tonight, I would like to ask you to please turn to the book of Acts. I would like to read from Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, the Word of God here is describing some of the things that happened on the day of Pentecost. Specifically, we're going to begin looking at some of the things that Peter was preaching about on the day of Pentecost, and God certainly poured His Holy Spirit out on Peter and blessed him to preach that day in a marvelous way. We'll begin looking now at Acts chapter 2, beginning in verse 29. Peter is speaking, he's preaching, and in Acts chapter 2 and verse 29, Peter says, "Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulcher is with us unto this day." That may seem insignificant, but it's very important to what Peter is about to say. He said, David, our father David, is dead, and he is still in the grave. And then he's going to go back and make reference to some things that David said back there in the Psalms. He's going to quote from the Psalms about Jesus Christ, but many people thought David was talking about David himself. David was still in the grave. Remember that. That's what he's saying in verse 29. And he says, "Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne." That is, that David, through the lineage of David, that the Christ, the Messiah, was going to be born. Verse 31 says, "He, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption." Now verse 31 is the reference back there to the book of Psalms, where David wrote down those words that God would not allow his anointed, he would not allow his soul to be left in hell, neither his flesh see corruption. In other words, David was not writing about himself. David was dead and was still in the grave, but David was prophesying about the coming of Christ, and that God would not allow God would not allow Jesus to stay in the grave, but was going to raise him from the dead. Verse 32 says, "This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we are all partakers." Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. That's central to everything that we believe as Christians today, is the resurrection, the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ. If we don't believe that, if you don't believe in the bodily resurrection of Christ, then you cannot be a Christian. You are not a Christian if you don't believe in the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's the foundation, that's the principle upon which all Christians believe and stand by. Verse 36, he continues to preach. In verse 36, he says, "Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ." God hath made. I want you to notice the verb tense there. God hath made that same Jesus whom you crucified, God hath made him both Lord and Christ. Now when Peter was preaching right here, Jesus had already been made both Lord and Christ. God hath made that same Jesus that you crucified, God hath made him both Lord and Christ. Did you know that today, right now, Jesus Christ is King of kings and Lord of lords? God has already made him both Lord and Christ. He is the anointed one. He was the one that came to save his people from their sins. He accomplished what he came to do. When he hung on the cross of Calvary and shed his blood there, he saved his people from their sins. It is a completed and accomplished work that Jesus did while he was here on this earth. Then he died. He did die on the cross of Calvary. And he was buried in that grave, but 3 days later, after 3 days and three nights, Jesus rose from the grave. And Jesus right now is King of kings and Lord of lords. And that's what Peter is preaching about, is that God has raised Jesus from the dead. And brethren, I'm thankful to know that right now Jesus is both Lord and Christ. He is the Anointed One. He's our Savior, but He is right now the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and Jesus is in complete control of everything in this world. I'm not saying that everything that's going on is something that God has decreed. I don't believe that at all. There's much sin in the world today. God has not decreed that sin. But I'm telling you, Jesus is not frustrated at what's going on. And at any point in time, all Jesus has to do is speak the word and judgment will be carried out. Now in verse 37, when they heard that Jesus was now both Lord and Christ, verse 37 says, now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? And I would think that each of us need to know the same thing. Jesus is Lord and Christ. Now, if you believe that Jesus is Lord and Christ, you ought to be asking the same question. What shall we do? Everybody in this building needs to know, what would God have me to do? Whenever Paul was stricken down on the road to Damascus, that was the question he asked. Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And all of God's children ought to be asking, Lord, what would you have me to do? Now, there are a lot of things that all of God's children ought to be doing. And what Peter begins to say right here is one of many things that every child of God ought to do. Listen carefully, especially those four of you that are to be baptized tonight, because whenever they ask, what are we supposed to do? What should we do? Verse 38 says, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. You ought to be baptized. You ought to repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins and the gift of the Holy Ghost. Verse 39 says, for the promise is unto you, that's the people he's speaking to, and to your children, and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Did you know God is calling all of his people? He's calling us to follow him. He's calling us to repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins and the gift of the Holy Ghost. What did they do? Verse 40 says, and with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Brethren, we have a generation today that is very much an untoward generation. That is, it's a generation that is not going toward God. It's a generation that's going away from God. And what does Peter preach to the people here to do? Save yourselves from this untoward generation. Now, Jesus had already saved them from their sins, and Peter had already made it clear that Jesus was both Lord and Christ. Jesus had already saved them eternally, but he said, you need to save yourselves from this untoward generation. This body of people all around you, the world is going away from Christ. And what are we supposed to be doing? As the masses are going in one direction, we're supposed to be going in the other direction. As the world is going one way, we're supposed to be going the other way. As the people are going away from God, we're supposed to be going toward God. And in doing that, when you look to God for the strength and grace you need, and you save yourself from this untoward generation, you're saving yourself from a lot of hell that you can experience while you live here in this world. And so he says, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Now listen to verse 41 to what happened. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. There were 3,000 people, I believe, that were baptized that day. And they were added to, the scripture says later, they were added to the church. They were added unto them, the people of the church. And there were 3,000 that were added unto them that day. And what do the people do? Now, I want to talk tonight about the church. We have four that are joining the church, four that are confessing Christ as their Savior, four who believe that Jesus is the Christ, and they want to be a part of the church, and as they are becoming a part of the church, they need to know what the church is. But they're not the only ones. All of us need to know about the church.
Even though I might be able to quote every scripture there is about the church, I need to be reminded, what is the church? The church is important, brethren. The church is precious. The church is special. Acts chapter 2, listen to verse 42. Here's what the people did. Here's what the church did. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Let me tell you something, brethren. It makes a big difference what you believe. There are a lot of false doctrines out there today. But the Word of God says that these people continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. They continued steadfastly in what Jesus preached and what the apostles preached. And the people of God today, the true church of Jesus Christ, is not going to be adding to that or taking away from that, but we're going to be preaching the apostles' doctrine. We're going to be preaching the Word of God. And any time that the church begins to preach and teach things that are contrary to the Word of God, we begin to depart from God. We begin to cease to be the church. So it's important that these four new members, that they remember that one of the functions of the church is to what? Continue in what? Continue in the apostles' doctrine. Continue in the Word of God. Jesus says, if you continue in my Word, then you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. There's great liberty in continuing in the apostles' doctrine. So he says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. Is fellowship important? Brethren, you cannot, if you don't have love one for another, and that's partly what fellowship is, if you don't have love one for another, if you don't desire the fellowship of the brethren, if you don't love the brethren and want the fellowship of the brethren, you're sick spiritually. Any child of God that doesn't want the fellowship of the brethren, that child of God is not loving the church. And Jesus says, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples. You think these four new members, you think they love the church? Do you think they love the church? You think they love this body of people? Do you think they love Jesus Christ? That's more important. Most important thing is, do they love Jesus Christ? They've already established that. They do love Christ. They believe that Christ is their Savior. They love Christ Jesus, and they love His church. And I think they prove that they love His church. And we thank God for you loving Christ and loving His church. They continued in fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. Brethren, we need, as people of God, and I went over the church covenant. Part of that is that we will be faithful in the attendance of ourselves in God's house, and that we will be faithful in the study of God's Word and faithful in prayer. And I went over that today with Sister Greta and Sister Grace and Brother Griffin and Sister Tracy. I said, now, that's part of what you're promising to do, is that you will continue steadfastly in doing those things. These are the things that the early church did here in Acts chapter 2. And we're promising, y'all are making a promise, and everybody else that's a member of the church here, you have made a covenant or a promise. I asked Griffin, I said, what is a covenant? He said, it's a promise. This is the church covenant. It's a promise that we have all made to God and to each other. We are making a promise that we will continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship and in communion and in prayers. Come down to verse 44. And all that believed were together and had all things common. Sister Tracy, I want you to know that everything that's mine is yours. If you need anything, if we need anything, if I need you, if you need me, if we need each other as the people of God, we have the privilege to help each other and to labor with each other and to be a part of each other as we live from day to day. And so we have a great privilege as children of God to have fellowship one with another, to manifest love one to another. And so it is that that's part of the function of the church, is to have fellowship and to love one another and to pray one for another. Verse 46 says, and they continuing daily with one accord. Was there unity in the body? Was there harmony and unity and fellowship in the body? In the early church, there was unity and harmony, and there must always be unity and harmony in the church. And they continued in fellowship, and they continued daily with one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house, and did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. You see, there was unity, and there was gladness, and there was singleness of heart. They were all of one mind and one accord. And then what does the 47th verse say? as it describes what the church did. After it describes what this early church did, the very next thing in Acts chapter 2 and verse 47 says they were praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. What does God do? God adds to the church. There's a big difference in me trying to beg and plead and get people to unite with the church and God adding to the church. And the people of God need to know and understand that it's not ever my duty or desire, or it's not my responsibility to ever try to talk anyone into being a part of the church. But the Spirit of God must move in your heart for you to be a part of the church. Now, after the Word of God tells us here about this early church, the Word of God tells us some promises about the church that I want us to remember. In Matthew chapter 16, back up in your Bibles just a moment to Matthew chapter 16. In Matthew chapter 16, the Word of God tells us that Jesus was somebody that was different than anybody that had ever lived on the face of the earth. In Matthew chapter 16, do you remember here in Matthew 16, do you remember that the Word of God says that people were questioning who Jesus was? Now, what did Peter say? Who did Peter say he was over there in Acts chapter 2? Who did Peter say he was? Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now, that's who Peter says he is right here. But who did he say he was over there in Acts 2? He said, that same Jesus that thou hast crucified, God hath made him both Lord and Christ. Now that's what he preached after the crucifixion. But here we find that as Jesus was being speaking to the people, he said that, who do men say that I am? Are there a lot of differences about who Jesus is today? Are there a lot of differences about who Jesus is? A lot of different ideas about who Jesus is. A lot of different ideas about what he's done. A lot of people think that Jesus has tried to do something and he's offered to do something if you'll let him. That's not the Jesus of the Bible. Jesus accomplished what he came to do. Jesus saved his people from their sins. He didn't offer to save anybody. He didn't try to save anybody. If you'll let him, he saved his people from their sins. We're going to ask that we join our hearts together in prayer, asking God's blessings on the baptismal service. Pray that God will help us be able to feel the presence of the Spirit of God as we join together, and as these members are baptized, would ask all of you to pray that God's Holy Spirit would be manifest in a very special way. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank Thee again for the privilege that we have to call upon the one true and living God. We ask You to help us, and guide us and direct us, and give us wisdom and understanding and knowledge and discretion. We pray that You would bless us as we enter into this baptismal service, that Your Holy Spirit would be manifest, that You would bless Sister Tracy, Brother Griffin, and Sister Grace, and Sister Greta as they are baptized, that You would bless them to feel the great privilege that it is to be a part of Thy church in the earth. Pray that You would bless them to be a blessing to the church, and the church to be a blessing in their lives. And we pray that You would bless all of us, that we would realize who Jesus really is, and that Jesus has given us the great promise that the gates of hell shall not prevail against His church. So help us, Lord. Help us to be thankful to You for the promise and the protection that You've given to Your people. And we pray that You would bless us in this baptismal service to know and feel what the eunuch did when he was baptized by Philip and he went on his way rejoicing. Help us to rejoice in Thy Word, in the truth of Thy Word every day, and help us to be good, faithful followers of Christ as part of His church. We pray in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.